Hi, I'm Dalvet Quince. One way to help manage type 2 diabetes is to regularly exercise. My exercise program can help get you into a routine that works for you. Keep in mind, managing blood sugar also takes the right
diet. Hi, I'm celebrity chef Franklin Becker. Ever since I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, I've adapted my cooking style without sacrificing flavor. If you want to learn more tips about diet
and exercise,
visit mytype2transformation.com.
I'm Cyndi Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean four times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
If you didn't see it, there was an extraordinary exchange in the Oval Office of the White House in the last 15, 20 minutes. So Volodymyr Zelensky is there. He is meeting with Donald Trump. They sat down in the Oval Office in front of the world's cameras. J.D. Vance there as well. And like I say, an extraordinary exchange took place. Here's a little flavour of it.
We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because you're in no position to dictate that.
That's exactly what you're doing.
You're in no position to dictate what we're going to feel. We're going to feel very good.
You will feel influenced.
We're going to feel very good and very strong.
You will feel influenced.
You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed yourself to be in a very bad position, and he happens to be right about it.
From the very beginning of the war,
you're not in a good position. You don't have the cards right now. With us, you start having
not
cards.
Playing cards.
Right now, you don't have
cards.
You're playing cards. You're playing cards.
Serious.
You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III. And what you're doing is very disrespectful to the country, this country, that's backed
you
far more than a lot of people said they should have.
Yeah, that was Donald Trump and Volodymyr Zelensky, mostly Donald Trump, but has to be said in the last few minutes. If you think that was just kind of one moment in an otherwise kind of peaceful, calm and rational conversation, you would be wrong. This went on and on and on. Larry Donnelly is a law lecturer at the University of Galway and a columnist with The Journal. Larry, I mean, this was extraordinary. We're used to seeing Donald Trump saying extraordinary things in these meetings, but I've never seen anything like this.
Kieran, I have to say, I'm still picking my jaw up off the ground. I've witnessed meetings and proceedings in the Oval Office for my entire life. I've never, ever seen anything on the level of this in my life. I still cannot fathom what just happened. It's one of those surreal moments when you ask, is this really going on right now? And the odd thing is, it seems, having watched back the entire video, it seems to be J.D. Vance who initially took objection to something that Zelensky said and objected in very strenuous terms, but terms that you expect to say, we will have a discussion about this behind closed doors. The fact that Vance escalated it and then Trump turned it into this three-ring circus is absolutely extraordinary. And one tries to rationalize what the political motivations might be here, but this happened in front of the world, and I'm just flabbergasted at every conceivable level. Rationalizing this is impossible from every conceivable level.
Yeah, you and I have often talked about this, and you made the point, we kind of underestimate Donald Trump, people do, when he makes these kind of bombastic claims. Often, you know, he knows what he's doing or he's got an idea of what he's doing beyond the claim itself. But this genuinely seemed to be kind of two people who just kind of lost the run of themselves, who kind of lost control. They were so angry with Vladimir Zelensky, they kind of couldn't keep it within the lines, particularly J.D. Vance.
Yeah, it does. You know, and again, whatever about Trump for a second, the fact that Vance was the one to really have the first go at Zelensky, again, with the cameras and the eyes of the world on him, it makes me wonder what was at the heart of all of this. Was this something that Vance and Trump had cooked up all along? Was this something that is obviously burning a candle underneath both of them so strongly that they couldn't restrain themselves? Are they in possession of some sort of polling data that suggests that the American people would be receptive to this? I can't imagine any of that. Of course, there are some people, there are ardent supporters who can say this and say, yes, this is what we want. There are numbers out there that suggest that Zelensky's standing in the American public mind has fallen precipitously. But all of this, even leaving aside politics, from a point of view of decorum, from the office that they had that meeting in, with the eyes of the world looking on, it's really, really troubling to witness. And I can't help but think that an awful lot of Americans of every ideological stripe there is are going to look and say, there's a time and a place for everything. The time and place for that was behind closed doors. It was not in the Oval Office with the eyes of the world looking on.
Yeah, I know every time people on this show are anyway critical of Donald Trump, people text in and accuse us of, you know, kind of Trump derangement syndrome and all of these things. But I suspect you're right. I suspect even kind of supporters of Donald Trump will look at that and it just sounded like kind of two people shouting at somebody else every time he said something they disagreed with. They shouted louder. And J.D. Vance, at one stage, it looked like he was going to try and defuse it. He said, listen, maybe let's kind of continue this conversation, not in front of the world's media and the American media. And then pointed at Vladimir Zelensky and said, especially when you're so wrong. You know, the classic, I absolutely have to have the last word, even if we're wrapping things up. Scott Lucas is with us as well, Larry, a professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute in UCD. Scott, I mean, much like Larry, is your jaw still on the floor?
No, and Larry summarized it really well, but it's not the jaw-dropping moment. It's the moment that I feared. And I'm saying this not just as an analyst, but as a native of the States, like Larry, that at some point, not only did I fear that Ukrainians would be sacrificed, but that just the sheer naked ambition of certain men would absolutely degrade the U.S. system and the America I know, where we literally saw, I think, American power fall apart on TV in the last half hour. Just to say why I do find an explanation for this, having gone back through it. Only 24 hours after Keir Starmer had played up to Donald Trump with the state visit, with the the increase in British defense aid, telling him how this was unprecedented and special that he would be coming for that with the invitation from King Charles. Vladimir Zelensky was asking questions of the two men, and he was respectfully, because it did start off respectfully, disagreeing with Donald Trump, for example, regarding the levels of aid that Ukraine had gotten from Europe and U.S., which Trump often misrepresents. And why I can explain this is the moment when it all blew up. And what happened is that Vladimir Zelensky actually asked, and he asked quite politely, he asked J.D. Vance, what type of diplomacy are you talking about? And then Vance went unleashed, unhinged. But I do think it was deliberate. I think, in other words, this was an ambush by J.D. Vance, who has never favored aid to Ukraine and who has been working closely with the camp of Donald Trump Jr., who came out this morning and said that U.S. aid should be going to Russia, not to Ukraine. And Vance came out and effectively said, you're ungrateful, you're litigating in front of the media. And he then, in effect, triggered Trump, where Trump was demanding tribute. He was demanding that Zelensky bow down to him, thank him, and praise him. And Zelensky, who has thanked the American people repeatedly for aid, he wouldn't do that. He would not bow down. He just held on to the line that we are fighting for our lives here. And that's the fundamental, not giving tribute to you. Vance, of course, wasn't going to have that because I think Vance, is playing out a game here. And Trump, of course, his ego was hurt, so he wasn't going to have it either. And I think that the what has happened here is, just to give you the takeaway line from this, for a week, there was a coordinated effort, first with Emmanuel Macron of France, then Keir Starmer of the UK, then Zelensky, to get a U.S. backstop for your British and French troops to protect Ukrainian infrastructure, energy infrastructure, and facilities like drone plants in the western part of the country. And that, I think that's gone. I think there's no way they get a U.S. backstop for the necessary security guarantee, which means we will not get a deal with Vladimir Putin, which means it'll be a question of if Europe and other countries can step up to the mark to make sure that Ukraine is not overrun by a Putin who has no interest in negotiating compromise.
Larry, how do you expect the American public to react to this when they see this video and their news updates tonight?
Well, look, you know, I'm always hesitant to judge exactly what people are going to say. Yes, I would imagine that people who are opposed to Trump will be aghast. And I imagine that a lot of the people who support Donald Trump will say that this is what we voted for. We voted for things to be turned over on its head. What I'd be watching for are the soft Trump voters, the gettable people. How are they going to perceive what they've just witnessed? Is this something that they're going to say, yes, we'll go along with this, or is this going to be a bridge too far? That is the great question. And again, you know, a lot of us have said that Donald Trump has gone too far on numerous previous occasions, only to be proven dramatically wrong. That's why I remain hesitant to say that this is some sort of, you know, backbreaking moment. But certainly it is deeply, deeply disturbing. And I think it will be increasingly hard for those who defend Donald Trump to say that at any level, whether in terms of substance or style or the venue it all happened in, that this was a reasonable response, or this was reasonable behavior from the commander-in-chief and the vice president.
Well, text messages into a radio station are a poor metric of public opinion, but by and large, when we talk about Donald Trump, they're kind of 50-50 for him and against him. Nobody seems to be impressed by this behavior in the Oval Office. And I would suggest some of those people getting in touch are probably the people who usually tell me what a great guy Donald Trump is and how he's a genius and he's making the world safer. And listen, maybe they still believe he's making the world safer ultimately, but they're still unimpressed by two grown men shouting at another man when they don't like what he's saying. Anyway, 087-1400-106. You want to get in touch. Absolutely remarkable scenes. Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at the University of Galway, columnist with the Journal. Scott Lucas, professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute in UCD. Thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Hi, I'm Dalveg Quince. One way to help manage type 2 diabetes is to regularly exercise. My exercise program can help get you into a routine that works for you. Keep in mind, managing blood sugar also takes the right
diet.
Hi, I'm celebrity chef Franklin Becker. Ever since I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, I've adapted my cooking style without sacrificing flavor. If you want to learn more tips about diet
and exercise,
visit mytype2transformation.com.